is Tomas Nuño, and Tomas is a doctoral student and is just finishing up at the University of Arizona. And welcome, and it's all yours.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Veda. Thank you all for, this is my pleasure to be here. It's nice to come to an APHA conference where it's within driving distance from us here in Tucson, Arizona. 6-hour drive isn't too bad. It's nice to be here and present this. This is actually part of my dissertation work, and it's entitled Assessment of a Promotora Administered Educational Program to Promote Breast and Cervical Cancer Screening in a Rural Community along the U.S.-Mexico border. So just no financial, no relationships to disclose. A little bit of background information in terms of breast and cervical cancer. Breast cancer among Hispanics, as you can see in terms of incidence and mortality, the pictures would say, well, there doesn't seem to be a problem here. Hispanics have lower incidence and lower mortality compared to non-Hispanic whites. But the key is that despite these lower incidence and mortality, Hispanic women are more likely to present breast tumors at a larger size and more advanced stage of disease. And these are from the ACS Cancer Facts and Figures for Hispanics 2006 through 2008. And in terms of looking specifically at Arizona, there was a study done recently that found that Hispanic women, again, compared with non-Hispanic white women, they were more likely to have, again, higher grade cancers, larger tumors, a greater number of positive lymph nodes, and advanced stage of diagnosis. And they were also less likely to have tumors that are both estrogen and progesterone receptor positive, particularly in women age under 60. So we see that the breast cancer is a problem within in this population. In terms of cervical cancer, here we do see that incidence and mortality are higher among Hispanics compared to non-Hispanic whites. You can see a relative risk 2 times higher compared to non-Hispanic whites of incidence, and 1.5 times higher in terms of mortality. And one of the issues is low screening rates and poor adherence to recommended follow-up after abnormal PAP are thought to contribute to increased mortality among Hispanic women. So those are the issues that face Hispanic women. So in Arizona, one of the projects that was undertaken to address this was called the Yuma Breast and Cervical Cancer Prevention Project. This is a study conducted in conjunction with the University of Arizona, different departments of the College of Medicine, the College of Public Health, and the Western Arizona Area Health Education Center in Yuma, Arizona. And this is a goal to address the health issues faced by Hispanic women that reside near the U.S. border. These figures I gave you earlier are national pictures, but when you look at specifically at the border region, those numbers tend to be worse, and reasons that have been found in the literature include low socioeconomic status, lack of insurance, and lack of transportation. These contribute to lower rates of cancer screening among Mexican-American women living near the U.S.-Mexico border. And then the challenges are there compounded by a relative geographic isolation, lack of transportation, and a healthcare system ill-equipped to address the cultural and linguistic needs of Mexican-Americans. I've got a slide coming up where I'll show you a map of Arizona to show you the picture where this is, where this area is, where it was part of our study. And why use the Promotora model? Well, the Promotora model has been found, it's the peer health education model. It has several benefits, which include it educates the community in a culturally appropriate manner. They are members of their own community, so there's a comfort level there. And then they can affect short and long-term outcomes. And that's the key, the long-term outcomes, the screening. We want the key is to get women involved in the screening process and to remain involved in that screening process to have maximum benefit from that. So this is the map of Yuma County in Arizona, and you can see that it's this section right here. This is the Yuma County. It had a year 2000 population of 160,026, out of which about half, 80,000, identified as being Hispanic or Latino of any race. And also about half reside within the city of Yuma. So the city of Yuma, if I can get the mouse there, is approximately about in this area right here. And then so our study included women that resided in Yuma, but also in 3 other small towns on the highway along to the Mexican border of Somerton, Gadsden, and San Luis is right on the border. And you can see here Arizona connects with the U.S.-Mexico border right here. These counties that are highlighted in yellow are actually using Arizona Health methodology. These are considered urban counties. This is here is considered a rural urban county where the has an urban core of 50,000, but the rest of the county is considered a rural area. And then from what our data shows and our experience is that these women that are involved in the study, they tend to reflect more of the rural agricultural profile of the women that are living in Somerton and Gaston and San Luis. So just a few pictures of, again, what Yuma County looks like. And again, as I mentioned, the study participants were from the city of Yuma, as well as Somerton, Gadsden, and San Luis. So you can see there's the urban area surrounded by desert around. But a lot of this desert agriculture is a big, big industry in the Yuma area. So what were the specific aims of the Yuma Breast and Cervical Cancer Prevention Project? One was to assess breast and cervical cancer screening utilization patterns among medically underserved Hispanic women living in a predominantly rural county along the U.S.-Mexico border. And two was to assess the effectiveness of a Promotora-administered educational program to promote long-term breast and cervical cancer screening. At baseline, there were 504 women enrolled in this study. It was a home survey. It was actually administered from April 2000 to April 2001. 182 item survey was a really big long assessment and had sections including health coverage, access to care, utilization, demographics, acculturation, and there were other sections of diabetes, cardiovascular health. So it was a long survey administered by promotoras in the house. So Hispanic majority census tracts were targeted, seven of 24, and random households were sampled. So women greater than or equal to age 50 years of age were invited to participate in the baseline survey, and they were offered if they indicated that they hadn't had a breast and cervical cancer screen, they were invited to participate in that, either a Pap smear or mammogram or a clinical breast exam, and they were asked if they would like to participate in the follow-up component of this study. So the targeted population of this was postmenopausal age women. With regards to the follow-up study methods, the subjects were asked if they would like to participate in the follow-up portion of this study. The participants were then informed that they were randomized into either a promotora-based educational intervention or a usual care arm. And the promotora educational intervention consisted of one two-hour class on breast and cervical cancer prevention, and it was administered in women's homes. So it wasn't like just one class. It was various courses offered in the homes of women where a small network was brought together. Pretty much based on the Tupperware model party, a model where you get the group together and these trained promotoras give them the classes on breast and cervical cancer prevention. So the study flowchart, again, this shows how the 504 women started. They were randomized, 252 into intervention, 252 into usual care. Out of those, 219 actually ended up participating in follow-up and 174 in the usual care. So the intervention was given, or the usual care reminder, and then we had an assessment of screening history for both arms. This total process took about 4 years, so it was a four-year process. There were some stops and starts along the way, funding issues and those types of things. But overall, we were able to collect data on that last endpoint and able to assess their screening history. So baseline study results, I just wanted to give a snapshot of what the population looked like at baseline. See that more than about 75% were Mexican-born Hispanic. Another about 10% were U.S. 15% were U.S.-born Hispanic, and a small percentage were white non-Hispanic. And again, that was just because random households were selected, majority census Hispanic. But we did have a good value of white non-Hispanic. One key thing that stands here is that you can see that the income level is quite low, and then even though they say regular source of care is high, current medical insurance is quite low, especially for Mexican-born Hispanic, they're at 47%. And I'll make these slides available to anybody afterwards that has any questions. In the follow-up study results, you can see that there is good cut. You have the usual care arm and the intervention arm. They ever had Pap smear in very high 90s, and as well as ever had mammogram. But you can see less than 1 year since last Pap, the intervention arm, 67% compared to 51% in the usual care arm, and less than 1 year since last mammogram, 77% versus 63%. Also found that more than 5 years since last Pap was higher in the usual care, and also more than 5 years since last mammogram was higher in the usual care arm as well. And average number of Paps in the last 5 years and average number of mammograms in the last 5 years was again higher in the intervention arm as compared to the usual care. So just to give just a little picture of the proportions. But when we consider, when we compare the two groups together, looking at odds ratios, odds of being screened, we see that the mammogram within 1 year, the intervention group was 2 times more likely to have a mammogram within 1 year as compared to the usual care group, and that was a significant p-value. A mammogram within 5 years, the long term, again, the intervention group was 2.1 times more likely to have had a mammogram within 5 years as compared to the usual care group. Not significant p-value here, but we see that the trend remains. With regards to pap smears, not as strong as, in fact, for the 1 year, the intervention group was 1.9 times more likely to have had a pap smear within 1 year as compared to the usual care group, a significant p-value. And then pap smear within 3 years, I use 3 years just based on using ACS recommendations, although they say 3 or 2 or 3 years. But again, here we don't know if they've been consistently going for their screening, but I thought the 3 years would give a good picture. An intervention group is getting a strong effect here, 3.6 times more likely to have had a pap smear within 3 years as compared to the usual care group. Again, a very significant effect. So overall, Hispanic women that reside, they face many challenges. Women that participated in the promotora-based intervention were more likely to participate in breast and cervical cancer screening programs than those who were in the usual care arm. Our conclusion is that a promotora-based educational intervention can have a positive effect on utilization of breast and cervical cancer screening services for Hispanic women that reside in a rural community along the U.S.-Mexico border. I think we know that the promotora model works. It does help. I think what my boss, Dr. Garcia, who is my dissertation director as well, just submitted a grant. We want to keep that long-term, not just in terms of utilization, but in terms of literacy. So we're looking at health literacy to increase that literacy in the community as well. Future steps, continue the analysis of these intervention. Possible stratification, this is just to check. The randomization in theory should have removed all confounders, but I just wanted to run some data on that and make sure if the groups were identical or if anything stands out. Manuscript preparation, we're preparing the manuscript of this study. And this is part of paper 2 for my dissertation. Acknowledgements, I got quite a few, but Dr. Garcia, my dissertation director, Dr. Robin Harris, my chair, my committee members, James Ranger Moore, Elena Martinez, and Antonio Estrada, the technical team at the university, as well as the WEHEC, Amanda Aguirre-Tuli Medina at the Western Arizona Health Education Center, very helpful. Special thanks to other colleagues, promotoras, and all the women that participated. It couldn't be done without them. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for some questions. Yes, sir.
I know it's a great model. In terms of practice, it's kind of similar program. Just the community health workers, like, oh my God, I'm off in Los Angeles, and everybody asked me, how are you going to be doing that? Sustainability is one of the, I guess, a positive outcome in continuing the promotora model. So would you be able to address any possibilities or how do you look at sustainability?
Yeah, I think sustainability, the key is the community involvement in terms of funding. I know Dr. Garcia is working on other projects where they do promotora work in Tucson, and they're actually training, having courses for the promotoras and looking for the promotoras to take over teaching courses. Actually, my wife is involved in that part of the study. She's right here. But I think the key is training the promotora, having trying to get the funding available for them. And I guess letting them as the involvement of the academia gets pulled away by other end of grants, that sustainability has been developed consciously. Yeah. All right. Questions.
Thank you.
Now, having said that, in Oregon, one of the leading causes of death, I think it's the fourth leading cause of death for Hispanic women is cervical cancer, so this is a very important issue. I had a question about the way you analyzed the data. Mm-hmm. Since there was complex sampling going on, when you calculated your odds ratios, do you take into account the sampling method that
I'd say right now we just did the analysis based on the intent to treat. You know, we had the two groups and
crude
yes, they are. Uh-huh. Okay. But that's
that. Go back and check, put it down in your
Absolutely, yeah, we definitely will do that.
I would encourage you to also take a look at some wave issues with regards to how you sample, target your areas so that you can say more about the results of the study, be more representative of the Hispanic women.
Absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't generalize, just couldn't say the word population in that area. Oh, thank you.
Do you want to say anything about the sampling? To reiterate what the sampling frame was, so maybe people want to reinforce that. There, that three communities.
There was right on 7 of 24 census tracts were targeted. So it's majority Hispanic census tracts were targeted. So I think, as you mentioned, that would be a good thing to go back and check that that the weighting is appropriate. So.
Any other questions? We're a little ahead of time here. We got a few more minutes. Yeah. Can you speak up? We couldn't hear you.
Yeah.
Say it again.
I heard that you mentioned the promotora, that promotora provides navigation to the women.
Navigation to the women?
Yeah. Obligation to the women. Navigation? I'm sorry.
The promotoras, they administered the surveys. They gave the classes in home, so in the classes they talked about the benefits of breast and cervical cancer screening, and they were involved in the assessments, all the field work. So they were community members. They were close relationships with them. So I think that in the educational classes they did provide that possibility of the services available there at the WAHEC. And in fact, I'm sure that they told me that the Western Arizona Area Health Education Center provides those types of services. Did you have another question here?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you could